Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Aleph. We begin 11 lines down from the top, Yud Aleph of an Aleph, by the two dots where we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah taught us that there's certain halachos that are mikra muat, but halachos merubos. There's only a small number of words in the psukim, only a small amount of psukim, but there are many, many halachos in this category. Where it starts and tells us, Tana, what are we talking about over here? Negayim v'alos mikra muat v'alachos merubos. So the Braisa adds over here to the things that we mentioned in the Mishnah, which was Shabbos, Chagiga, Milu, which we spent the latter part of yesterday's shir discussing. They were the things that were Harim, Taluyim, Besara, Shehin, Mikra, Muad, Valochas, Merubos. There are very few psukim, but there are a lot of halachas associated with them. So the Braisa adds on two additional things, that Negoyim and Ahalos, the Didim of Negoyim, of various types of Negatzaraz, and Ahalos, various types of Tumas Ohel, they also have Mikra Muad, small amount of Psukim, Vahalochos Merubos, but many, many Halochos are dependent upon those few Psukim. Some more questions, it says, really, Negoyim Mikra Muad? Negoyim Mikra Merubahu? How can you tell me Negoyim is a Mikra Muad? There's a whole Parsha, Tazria and Mitzora that deal with a lot of these ideas of Negoyim. So how can you tell me it's a Mikra? Where says Taki right? That's not the right way to read the Brisa. This is what the Brisa really should be saying. Negoyim, in regards to the dinim of Negoyim, Mikra Mamurba. It's an entire parsha, Mitzora, that deals with Negoyim. So of course there's a lot of things about Negoyim. That's Mikra Mamurba. And however, the halachos are muatos. In this, there aren't that many halachos. Olos is Mikra Muat, but halachos Mamurbas. Olos has many halachos and only yet a few psukim. So what's the nafkamina of learning this? What difference does it make to us if a parasha has a few psukim and a lot of halachos, so they're actually relatively more psukim, and therefore per pasuk basis there's less halachos? Why is it nafkamina? Who cares? What difference does it practically make? Someone says, no, it depends. If you're uncertain about something in regards to the halachos of negayim, you're going to look it up in the psukim. The psukim are very explicit and very detailed, and that's the place to go look up halachos about negayim to see what the details are. As opposed to, if you have a question, if you're unsure about a din in regarding to alos, so the psukim aren't going to be the best place to go find the answers. I'm a mastisa. Then you have to look in the Mishnah, you have to look in the Gemara, you have to look in discussions that will explain the sparsity of the words in the Mishnah. Then the Mishnah had said, the next category was dinin, and we also had there, we only call dinim here in our Gemara, but the Mishnah had said also the halachos of the avodos, the dinim of korbanos, as well as then we had taris and tumah, tum and tara dinim, and arayas and sexual immoralities. So all of these things we said, yesh lehen amashi yismochu, they have some actual psukim to support these multitude of dinim that we have on these subjects. So we quote here now dinim. More questions as it says, really, there's just a smach? Yesh lehen amashi yismochu? Is that the way you would describe it? Nechtok sivam, there's parashas mishpatim. There's a lot of actual psukim to deal with this. Why are you saying yesh mashi yismochu? That seems to be an incorrect terminology. Someone says, nope, there are certain dinim within dinim that only have a small smach in the psukim. Lo nitzucho, therefore, you need to say this over here, yesh lehen amashi yismochu, for the din of Rebbe, Elikud the Rebbe. What did Rebbe say? The Tanya, Rebbe learned the following brayis, the Rebbe Omer, Nefesh, Tachas, Nefesh. The pasuk is, V'imoson yeh, if there's an accident, two men are fighting, V'inatsuan Hashem, two men are fighting, and unfortunately, they go and kill a pregnant woman, V'nosa, Nefesh, Tachas, Nefesh, and you have to go, a life for a life. So you might have thought that that means literally you go and kill them in this situation. So the answer is, Mamon, here you're talking about a monetary payment. The words nefesh, tachas, nefesh over here mean not a life for a life, but it means a mammon for this life that was taken. In this situation, it wasn't a actual murder, if a real murder. Of course, there is a nefesh, tachas, nefesh. There is a life. If you murdered somebody, there's hasra, there's warning, and there's edim, and then you never kill the person, so then you would be chayiv misa space, and it would be a nefesh for a nefesh. However, here, this was a situation where the woman was what we would call an innocent bystander, and two men were fighting, and nebuch, they caused the woman to die. So here, the word nefesh, tachas, nefesh, Rebbe says, is to be understood as mammon. Now, this is not something that's befavish written in the psukim. There's only a smach. So what's the smach? At omer mammon, Rebbe says, I'm telling you that the word is mammon, but you're going to tell me, no, maybe not. Oh, ain't no el nefesh mamash. Maybe it means that, no, even though it's an a innocent bystander type of a killing. No, Nebuch, they killed somebody, and therefore they have to be killed. So Gemara says, no, look at the previous pasuk. It says, we know san bifli lim. That's Nebuch when the baby that was a woman was carrying, was she was hit. And they never hit a pregnant woman, and she miscarries as a result. The nosan bifli lim. It uses the term nesina. The nosan bifli lim. So nemar nesila matu. We have over here the words in our pasuk. The nosata nefesh tachas nefesh, and we had in the previous pasuk the nosan bifli lim. The nemar nesila mala. So we have these two psukim telling me the word nesina. So we linked the two. Mala halon mamon avkan mamon. Just like in the previous case, there was a monetary payment. So to over here, it's a monetary payment. Oh, this is an example of there's a smach to it only. But it's not a Irish pasuk with a specific amount of words telling us this din. Therefore, that's why it's Ella Yeshi L'smoch. There's a smach to this din. Okay. The next one, the Mishnah says, Avodos, well, the dinam of the korbanos, is also Yesh Amashi Yismochu. There is something to rely upon in the psukim. Again, the Gemara says, Michtav Sion, you have Sefer Vayikra, deals with korbanos. How can you tell me there's only a little bit? The Gemara says again, Lo Nitzucha, yes, there's only a little bit for the following. El Holacha's Dom, the din of Holacha. We know that there's a din that you have to do Shrita, then you do the Kabbalah, then you do Holacha, and then you do the Zrika. Those are the four Avodos. You first Shech the animal, then you have to do Kabbalah and the Klisharis, you have to go accept the blood from the Shechita, and you put that into Klisharis, and then you have to take that Klisharis and bring it to the Mizbeach. That's called Holacha. Now, Holacha is different than the other three. Then you do the Zrika, you put the applications of the blood for each specific carbon in the way they're supposed to be put. So Holacha is different than the other three. It's not Ma'akev if you don't do it, because you shecht it right next to the Mizbeach, then there's no din of Holacha. If you shecht further away from the Mizbeach, as it was often the case, so then you had a mitzvah to do the Holacha. If you didn't do the Holacha properly, so then it ruined the carbon. But in and of itself, if you shecht right by the Mizbeach, so then there is no requirement to do halacha. So you might have thought halacha is a little bit different than the other dinim, and that's what is going to be Yesh Amashi Yismochu. That's a smach to this, because it doesn't say beferish. Now what is this drasha? To teach us the halachas, not the tani. We learned in the Braisa. The pasuk tells us v'ikrivu. What pasuk is this? So the pasuk is v'shachad is ben habakor lefnei Hashem. You're going to shecht the animal before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ben habakor, the bull before Hashem. V'ikrivu b'nei Aaron HaKohanim es adam v'zarku es adam. They will hikrivu. Now this is a funny lashon. It should have said v'holichu, but it says v'ikrivu. They shall bring it karov, which is not to be understood in the literal way. But instead, the Braisa darshens it, Vikrivu doesn't mean to bring it there. It means Zu Kabbalah Sadam. This is the collecting of the Dam and the Klisharis. Why did the Lashon of the Torah say Vikrivu instead of Vikbilu? They accept it. The Athor Rachmona B'Lashon Alacha, the Bedafki used the Lashon of Vikrivu rather than a Lashon of Kabbalah to teach us the following din. They'll say, because the Pasuk says, Vikriva Kohen is Hakol, Vikriva Mizbecha. We already have another Pasuk says that you shall go and sacrifice it. The Akriva Kohen is a Kol Victor Mizbecha. And we darshan on that. Yomamar Zu Holochas Evarim Lakevish. That's a reference over there to the bringing, not the sacrificing, but you shall bring the various items that are going to be brought on the Mizbeach to the Mizbeach. The Akriva Mizbecha. So here you're dealing with the Korban Ola, and it's totally sacrificed on Mizbeach. So we break it up. The Akriva Osa, and it says Vinitacho Solin Sochel. You cut it up into its component parts, and you put up all the different parts of the Korban Ola up on top of the Mizbeach. So there it uses the expression Vikriv, Zuho Locha Sebram Lekevish. So we see that the word Vikrivu means to go and bring it. Now, why do we say over here Vikrivu means Kabbalah Saddam? This is to teach us a halacha. The halacha lo tafka miklau Kabbalah. This is to teach us the rule that even though technically you could do without the holocha, if you were to go shecht right by the Mizbeach, the bottom line is, if you didn't shecht right by the Mizbeach, then the dinim of holocha are applicable just the same way the shechita and the kabbalah and the zrika are. There are certain things that if you do them incorrectly, for example, you have a pigul machshava. So if you have a pigul machshava during the holocha, it also will be mefagel the carbon. It will ruin the carbon by having an incorrect machshava, an incorrect thought that I'm going to go and, let's say, eat this outside its regular time. So a carbon shlomo is allowed to be eaten for 2 days and the night in between, and you have a machshava, you can eat it 2 days later, so then that would in fact be a pigul machshava that would ruin the carbon. If somebody were then to eat that, they'd be chayiv misa if they would eat a kezias of that. So the bottom line is that this usage of the word vikrivu is to come to teach us a halacha, that the din of holacha has the same dinim as we have in many other places for zrika, kabbalah, and the shechita. So therefore, in this situation, this is how we know this. Now, that's not a beferish pasuk. That's yesh amashi yismochu. Oh, this is the yesh amashi yismochu that we have for avodos. We continue quoting the Mishnah. It said taharos. It said tumas and taharos. So these dinim also have only a yesh amashi yismochu. And again, the more questions is, what are you talking about? Tumah and Tahara, there are lots of psukim. Michtav ksivim, there's a lot of psukim. So again, it's coming to specifically, I teach us this one idea. Lo nizucha, it's only being used over here, yesh amashi yismochu, ela l'shir mikvah. This is to teach us the din of a mikvah, how much a mikvah has to hold in order to be able to be matar somebody. The lo ksiva, that doesn't tell us exactly in the Torah, the shir of a mikvah, 40 saw. So we darshed it out, the Tanya. Now, throughout Shas, the wrong pasuk is always put down over here in the Gemara, and you'll see every time this is mentioned in Shas, and you can see this in the Mesoros HaShas, in Oz Hey, that there are a whole bunch of places where this incorrect pasuk is brought up. You have it in Erevin, you have it in Psachim, you have it in Yuma, and you have it over here. So it tells us the pasuk that it should be saying instead of Verachatz es b'saroba mayim, but the real pasuk that it should be quoting over here is as follows. The ish ki seitze mimenu shichva zera, a person has a discharge of zera, Verachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. He has to go and immerse himself in water, his entire body, and then he'll have Herav Shemesh, for today out of Arvin, and when nightfall comes, he'll be tar. So the right way that we should be quoting this pasuk now to teach us the din is Verachatz b'mayim es kol b'saro. So we dash that as follows. The Tanya, Verachatz b'mayim, we delete the words es b'saro, that comes later on. That's a different pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here. The right pasuk is Verachatz b'mayim, so that means b'mei mikvah. You have to go and immerse yourself in a mikvah. How much of that mikvah contain? It's called b'saro. Has to have enough water in it. Mayim shekol gufo olabed. That you can put the entire body inside this mikvah of water. How much is that? V'kama hein? Ama al ama berum shalosh amos. The mikvah is a cubic structure which can contain one amma in length, one amma in width, and three amma in height. That's how much if a person goes and immerses in that, it will immerse the entire body. Because as the person goes in there, the water will actually rise to four ammas because you're displacing a certain amount of the water. And therefore, a person's height is considered to be 6 feet. Let's say an amma is a foot and a half, so four times one and a half would be 6 feet. So it would be roughly 6 feet tall. That will immerse most people, amma wide and amma in its length, and then three amma in its width will allow enough water for a person to be totally immersed in. And how much is this? Shira Chacham, the rabbis were Mashiach this, that may make for our bar mitzvah, that this amount is 40 saw. So lav dafka, that the mikvah has to be in a cylinder type of structure, can be a body, a pool of water. As long as it contains 40 saw, a person will be able to immerse his entire body. Again, this is not Befeirish stated, this is Yesh Amashi Yismochu, and that's why this din is listed here in our Mishnah. Then our Mishnah is at Tumos, so that also, Michtav Ksivon, there's a lot of psukim that deal with that, so why are you telling me, Yesh HaMashi Yismochu? So again, Gemara says, it's to teach us a specific din, which din, Lo Nitzucha, this is needed to teach us, Elocha Adashu Min HaSheretz. This is to teach us that the minimal amount of a sheretz that could be metame is an adash's worth, a lentil seed's worth. The Lo Ksivon, that's not specifically mentioned in the Torah, and therefore, Yesh HaMashi Yismochu, this is darshed out in the following price, the Tanya. The Pasuk tells us, the word that we're quoting over here is Bohem. And this is two psukim in Shmini that we're going to be quoting now. It says, Ela hatzmeyim lochem b'chol hasharetz. These are the following shrotzim, list the eight shrotzim over there that are going to be able to be the tamiyu. And it says, Kol hanogeya bohem. If you touch any one of them, b'mosam, when they're dead, yitmo ad arv. The person becomes tamei tumas sharetz. The next pasuk says, B'chol asher yipol olav mehem. Here it says, mehem. If it should fall upon you from them when they're dead, b'mosam, yitmo, you will become tamei. So the first pasuk uses the lashon of bohem. The second pasuk uses the lashon mehem. So how do we darshan this? This is going to be Yesh HaMashi Yismochu. This is a drasha that isn't so befeirish, but it's a drasha, and therefore this is why the din of tumas is included in the Mishnah al Yesh HaMashi Yismochu. So the drasha is the Tanya Bohem. The pasuk, first pasuk in Shmini over here tells us Bohem. Yoch B'kula might have thought this meant that if you touch them only when they are intact and the entire sheretz is there. Tamaloma, the second pasuk tells us mehem, which is a miut, mehem, some of them. So you only have to touch some of them in order to become tamei. Ah, yochel b'mitzvah. So then it would be even any amount, even if it's a very, very tiny amount, less than an adasha. So Tamaloma, bohem. The first pasuk said, no, you have to touch all of it. So which one is it? You have all of it or part of it? So okay, it said, how do you dash the seemingly contradiction? So it means, achi yagia b'mitzvah, so shukichulo. It has to be something that is significant, like it was the whole thing, but lav dafka, the whole thing. And how do you fulfill this idea? It has to be significant, albeit it's not the whole thing. So how much did the Chachamim say this is? Shiru Chachamim b'chadasha. So the rabbis had a Kabbalah that this is the amount of a chadasha. That's considered something significant. Why? Where do they get this figure from? Shekein Chomet, the certain one of the Shmona Tzurasim known as the Chomet. It's not sure exactly what this is. Maybe it's a certain type of a snail. In any event, this Chomet, so the rabbis were Meshayer that Chomet Chiloso b'chadasha, at the beginning of its life, it's the size of a chadasha. So therefore, that is considered something significant, even though it's going to grow. And lav dafka all the Shmona Shvatzim aren't the size of a chadasha, b'chiloso, but the rabbis were Meshayer that this is the shear. That's the first opinion that we have in this brisa, and that's Yesh Amashi Yismochu. Incidentally, Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that the significance isn't from the Chomet, it's learned down. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda Omer Kiznav Halatoi. He says that this is the size of the tail, the Znav of the Halatoi. The Halatoi is another one of the Shmona Shvatzim. And this Halatoi is the shear that we go by. This is considered significant. You cut off the tail, the animal's tail will still move. So therefore, it's considered it has a certain chias to it, and therefore, that is the shear. In any event, this is something that doesn't have the feirish psukim, it's a drasha, so yesh ama shi yismochu. The final statement in the Mishnah, yesh ama shi yismochu, is a rayas. Now, again, michtach sivan, there's entire parishes and achrimos that are listing the arayis and other places. So how can you tell me that there's only a yesh amashi yismochu? Again, the same exact form of the Gemara over here, lo nitzucha. This is only needed over here to teach me. Now, the source of Shas ends the words, Ella libito, as we turn to Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So this din is to teach us that a person is not allowed to have relations with his daughter. What does it mean, his daughter? Libito, as we turn to the Amud Beis, libito me anusaso. This is a specific type of daughter. This is his daughter, that Nebuch, he had had relations with a woman outside of marriage. We use the terminology anusaso as lav dafka. It means that a woman that wasn't his wife, and he had a daughter with such a woman. This is called libito me anusaso, that if this person were to go and have relations with such a daughter, that would be prohibited. Now, this is not stated beferish in the Torah. This is, again, learned down through a very complicated double gzerushava, hena hena zima zima, famous gzerushava, which we're going to go through quickly right now. So that's how we know this. Delok siva. Technically, bito me'anusaso is not listed as one of the beferish arayas. However, we darshan out that, no, it is one of the arayas. And where do we darshan this out? From this famous gzerushava, d'amar rabba. Rabba said, amali Rav Yitzchak Baravdimi. Rav Yitzchak Baravdimi was the one that taught me this gzerushava, asya hena hena, asya zima zima, double gzerushava with the words hena hena, teaching me also that you can compare certain things, and then it tells me zima zima that you can compare certain other things, and therefore that's how we darshan it. Now, what is this gzerushava of hena hena zima zima? So if you look at the Rashi, Dira Maschal, Amar Rava, he goes through it. So he says that this drash over here is to teach us the Isser of Bito Me'anusaso. How do we learn this out? The Isser, that we know this Isser. So Asya Zima Zima L'Sreifa. So the first din that we learn out is connecting the two psukim that have the word Zima in them to teach us the din of Sreifa, one of the Mises Basins over here. Where do we see that? Kisiv B'Nisuyin, it says by a married woman, Shara Hena Zima Hi. So we have the words Hena and we have the word Zima in this pasuk. Uksiv ba'onsin, and it says in regards to a woman Nebuch that was either raped or that she was having relations with somebody out of marriage. So it says ki ervoscha Hena. There it uses the words Hena. So ma, and the Bach over here tells us ma Hena. The word Hena we have to add ha omur b'nisuin. The word Hena is written by nisuin. So also a cause of bita. Kibas bita or kibas benoa. There it doesn't say specifically bita. It only talks about the granddaughter, who was either the daughter of your daughter or the daughter of your son. So to ba'onsin, we make this comparison of hena hena from nisuin to onsin to teach us the same thing. Also, akos of bito, his daughter, has the same halacha. It's not the favorite written by the daughter, but it makes the same halacha, kibas bito, like the daughter of his daughter, or kibas beno, or the daughter of his son. In other words, we're comparing over here the woman that was and Anusa, her progeny with the woman who is an Asua. Then that's the Hena Hena. Then what's the Zima Zima coming to teach us? Asya Zima Zima, the Sreifa. That comes to teach us that they both have the din of Sreifa. Meach, Shalmanato Anusa, Minasua. Once you're learning Anusa, learning out from Nesua, so by Nesua, it says, Uksiv, Zimahi. The first pasuk that we read, it said, Sharaheina Zimahi. So we have the word Zima. So it teaches us over here, Kemal Dechsiv Bianusa Domi. So it's comparing it to the Anusa. And just like we learned over here, the first part was learning Anusa from Nesua. Now we're learning the second part, Nesua from Anusa. V'choza v'lomud bo sreifa me'isha she'ikachas isha v'yes ima. So if the man were to go and take a woman and her mother, so zima, this is considered zima, but eish yisrofa also, the misa is sreifa, and therefore we learn out that the sreifa is the same din over here as well. We learn it out. So we have this double gzeirah shava of heina, heina, zima, zima, a complicated drasha. Nevertheless, yesh al mashi yismochu, it has a certain level of smach on the pasuk, and that's what we learn out the din of bito me'anusaso is a chiv of sreifa. So that's how we know this din. You might have thought that you should learn that from Kav Chomer. If the punishment is for your granddaughter, so Allah has kama v'kama should be for your daughter, but that's not the way the Torah works. Ein onshin elo imkein masirin. We don't have a onish given to somebody unless it's a specific drasha or other beferish statement. You can't learn out things from a Kav Chomer to give a punishment, and therefore that's why we need this complex double gzereshava, heina heina, zima zima. And that's yesh amashi yismochu. Finally, the last statement we made in the Mishnah was very enigmatic. We said, Hein, Hein, Gufei Torah. So we quote the Mishnah, and the Gemara asked the obvious question, Honey in Hanachlo? What, these are the only Gufei Torah? Everything else in Torah is just fluff? Everything else in Torah is not really Iker? Every single letter in the Torah is essential. So how can you tell me only these are Gufei Torah, implying only the last things that we learned, these items that we said, Yesh Amashi Yismocho or Gufei Torah, the rest is not? Which is obviously not Ella. The right way to read the Mishnah is Ella Ema, not Hain, Hain, Gufei Torah, but Ella read it, Hain, the Hain, Gufei Torah, all of these. However, they're darshaned out, whether there's a very small amount, Ein Amashi Yismocho, or a very minimal amount, Yamashi Yismocho, or a little bit more, there is a Harim that are held up by a Sarah, or whether there's a more significant amount, and Yesh Amashi Yismocho, so all of these, Hain, the Hain, Gufei Torah. All of this is wonderful Torah learning. With this, we conclude the first parak, the beautiful parak in Chagiga. Hadron lecha kochayavim, hadron lecha kochayavim, hadron lecha kochayavim. And now we start the second parak, Ein Darshin. And we begin as follows. The Mishnah tells us, Ein Darshin ba'arayos. A person is not allowed to go learn arayos bishlosha. Now here we have the hava minuf, and then we'll say what the maskon is. What does it mean, bishlosha? So the words seem to imply, as Rashi points out over here, shnayim vihu. So a Rebbe shouldn't be teaching the halachas arayos. We'll see why in the Gemara. He shouldn't be teaching the halachas arayos if it's to more than two pupils. That's the simple understanding. The Gemara will later on say, no, it's to three pupils. You're not allowed to teach it to three or more. Whenever it says the amount over here, it means that's the maximum amount you teach it. Anything beyond that certainly is no good. So the hava mina of the Mishnah is you're not allowed to teach the arayos to two people besides yourself. You're the one teaching it, so to two people. The Gemara will say it really means you're not allowed to teach it to three people. And that will be the same pattern for the other things mentioned here in the Mishnah. For example, it says, v'lo b'maisa b'reishas b'shnayim. You're not allowed to teach the maisa b'reishas, which I'll explain in a moment what that means. You're not allowed to learn about maisa b'reishas b'shnayim. So Rashi over here says, the hava mina is echod b'hu, to teach it to one pupil. In the Gemara, they're going to say that you're not allowed to teach it to two pupils. That's what it means. And we'll discuss a little bit in the Gemara what it means, Maisa Bereishis. Literally means the creation. So there's certain things you're not allowed to learn in regards to creation, but Maisa Bereishis, many, many different interpretations what this is, with Bishnayim, the Gersa that we have right now, is Bishnayim, which means you're not allowed to teach it to one other person. We'll see in the Gemara it's talking about you're not allowed to teach it to two people, and certainly more than two people at one time. And then finally it says, V'lobe Merkava, the Maisa Merkava, the first parak in Yechezkel, where he talks about the wondrous Maisa Merkava. So you're not allowed to learn that, B'yochid, to, now, right now, the Gersa that we're assuming, the understanding that we're assuming, it means B'yochid, that it means by yourself. Ein shom elohu, Rashi says, levado, by yourself, you're still not allowed to learn it. So this will be the reason why we reinterpret it, because it says, you're not allowed to learn it by yourself. And then it says, alas, elam kein oya chacham umevim daito. First it says, you're not allowed to learn it. Then it says, but if you're a chacham, and you're able to understand things by yourself, so then you would be allowed to learn it. So there seems to be a difficulty in this, and that's why we're going to revise these numbers, 3, 2, and 1, to say, doesn't mean you and two other people, you and one other person, you yourself. And what it means is you and three other people, you and two other people, and you and one other person. Okay, you see, if you didn't understand this, we'll see when you get to tomorrow, you see what I mean. Then the mission continues and tells us, If a person looks at the following four things, in other words, he investigates and he tries to learn and understand these four things, not a good thing. Rasui, Rashi tells us, is a lashon, and it's not worth your while. Tovi Yofi, Rashi said, Dibra Masl Rasi Ulo, Tovi Yofi Ulo, in lo Boli Olam. It would have been better for such a person, it would have been good for such a person if he wasn't created. Rather than learning these things or asking questions about these things, not a good idea. That's the first interpretation. Then Rashi says, "V'omer ni, I have my own interpretation that this is a lashon of Rachmanus, Kloma Merucham," and the Bach adds the word over here, Merucham Haya im lo ba'liol. Would have been better for such a person, would have been more merciful for such a person if he wasn't brought into the world. And he brings down from Vayikra, where in Torah's Kohanim it says El Elazar Galisamar Banov Hanosorim. This lashon of Nosorim is Ru'i and Hoyelisar. They were technically all four of Aaron's children were supposed to be burned with the Sreifa that killed Nadav and Avihu. Ella Hakadosh Baruch Hu Risa Hakosli Aaron. Hakadosh Baruch Hu had mercy on Aaron. So we see this lashon of Rasui is a lashon of Rachmanus, of mercy. In any event, bottom line is, if somebody is discussing, looking at these four things, not a good thing. It's better if he wouldn't be brought to the world, or Kodesh Baruch Hu would have mercy on him, not bring him into the world. And one of these four things, number one, Mala 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 Mata, and number three and four is Malafonim or Mala Ocher. Now, what do these things mean? So, many different interpretations. I'm just going to give you one, keep it as simple as possible. Mala 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 Mata means what is above the Shemayim and what is below the Shemayim. Now, how you interpret that, some say it means in the areas of Shemayim, what's above the Rakia and what's below the Rakia. Others suggest, no, we're allowed to learn what's below the Rakia, and therefore it means what's deep inside the earth. So, you're not supposed to investigate and look at these types of things. It doesn't mean physical. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to dig a hole in the ground. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to take a spaceship and try to reach the moon. That's not what it's referring to. It means on a more esoteric basis, what is above, so to say, the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what is below the creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, you shouldn't say what is going on in the world over here. There are things that we can't understand in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what it means. Don't look what's above HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's below HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And likewise, Malafnim, Malachar, they're again physical interpretations. It means certain areas, but the more easy way to understand this, it means don't ask what's before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, don't ask what's after HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First of all, there's no such thing. However, these types of ideas, a person can only get into trouble. And it's better if he hadn't been brought into the world, if he starts trying to understand things that it's physically impossible for a human being to understand. That's in essence what this Mishnah is telling us. There are many, many different Rishonim that talk about how to understand this in slightly different ways, but they're all basically dealing with things that we can't understand. They're incomprehensible to human beings, so don't waste your time thinking about them, and if you do, it's only going to lead to trouble, not a good thing. Furthermore, we'll discuss this more in the Gemara as well, Rashi tells us, but somebody doesn't have mercy, so to say, on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. He's not merciful on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. He's not taking into account HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor. So then, also, Rasui lo shelo bo liolam. Same terminology used over here. It'd be better for this person. He hadn't been brought into the world, but it would be rachmanis on this person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should have, for bringing him into the world, because this is the wrong thing for a person to do, not have a covered kono. Not to have covered for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the creator of the entire world. Now we start the Gemara and try to understand this, and this is really going to be an esoteric discussion that we're going to have for the next couple of blot. We start off with some drushes, and then we're going to a lot of esoteric ideas. We'll start with at the end of today's shir as well. So, first of all, the Gemara says, Amris Bereisha. Here we have that question that I pointed out, how many you're allowed to teach with. It says, it says, the third one of the things, don't learn the Merkava even as an individual. But then it says, other Amris, you're allowed to learn the Merkava, Elam Keno Yachachem Umevim Daito. If you're a smart person, then you can't learn the Merkava. No, which one is it? You can learn it or you can't learn it. So when it says, obviously that can't be the understanding. That's where we revise all the numbers in the Mishnah. When it said, Ein Darshim Barayas Lishlosha, don't teach the Arayas Bishlosha, we have to have the Girsa, so to say, Ein Darshim Barayas Lishlosha, to teach it to three people, not you and two other people, like Havamina was Rashi brought down in the Mishnah, but it means you can't teach the Arayas to three people. We'll see in a moment why not. Lo Maisa Barayas, and likewise, Maisa Barayas, you shouldn't learn to teach it to two people, lo lishnayim, not you and one other person, but it means you and two other people. And likewise, lo b'merkav l'yachid, it means elam keno yachacham umevin midaito. It means that you can't teach it to one person. And if you do teach it to that one person, that person has to be chacham umevin midaito. So now we have a new understanding. When it says three, two, and one, it meant to teach it to three people, to two people, and one people, not including you, as opposed to in the first understanding, it was you included in the three people, you included in the two people, you included in the one person. Now, why not? So we quote the Mishnah, which says Ein Dorsha Baraisa Bishlosha, which is really Lishlosha. So my time, why not? What's the problem in teaching it to three people? Why do we say you can't teach it to three or more people? So ultimately, the Gemara is going to give us a very practical answer, but first it starts off trying to give us drushas. So it says, Elema, maybe you want to tell me that the reasoning is based upon a drushas of the psukim, Mishum Desiv, Ish, Ish, El Kosha Erebisaro. And the end of that pasuk tells us, Lo Sikrivu Legalos Erevani Hashem. So a person is not allowed to go and do certain things in terms of immoralities. So it says the lashon of Ish, Ish. So I might have said, Ish, Ish, that's trade, that's telling you, two people, and then it says she'er b'saro. A kol she'er b'saro, that implies one more, she'er b'saro chad. So is this the drasha that you're not allowed to teach it to three people? V'amarachmona lo sikrivu legalos erevah. The end of the pasuk says don't do this. So that's coming to teach us that don't do it with three people. Is that the drasha? The Torah says no, it can't be. Elamayata. If you're telling me that this is the drasha over here, so then the same ishi should be the drasha elsewhere. So where does it say elsewhere? Dichsiv. Ish, ish, ki kal el kop. Person shouldn't rachmon el islan, go and curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Likewise, it says, ish, ish, and the pasuk tells us, he shouldn't give his child over to the molech, rachmon el islan. Ish, ish, v'bnei Yisrael, u'min ager, agar b'Yisrael, asher yitim yizaru la molech, most you must. You're not allowed to go do that as well. So you're telling me, ish, ish, it must be two people? If this is the drasha, ish, ish is trey? So then, hochanami, only two people are not allowed to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One person is okay to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rahman al-Islam. Two people can't give their child over to the Moloch. No, one guy wants to go kill his child, give it to the Moloch. That's allowed, Rahman al-Islam. Of course not. So this can't be the drasha, ish, ish. Ella, what is this drasha ish ish teaching me? Ella hanu mibayle, the words ish ish are needed to teach us l'rabos sisanachum, to say any person, even a non-Jewish person, is not allowed to do these types of activities. And where do we see this from? Shemus harun abirkas Hashem. The non-Jewish person is also not allowed to go and be makal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The euphemism birkas Hashem, to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means to curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here. And the idea of Moloch is Avodah Zarah. They, Goyim, have the same din over here. You're not allowed to go and curse HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to go and worship Avodah Zarah. Ki Yisrael, just like a Yid's not allowed to do this, a Goy's not allowed to do this as well. And Hainami Biboy Leila Rabos is Anachum. So this word Ish Ish is coming to teach us this. Shemusarun Alarai is Ki Yisrael. So too over here, when we have Ish Ish, it's called She'er B'Sarah. So there are certain dinim that are applicable by the Arayas to the Goyim as well. So it's the din of Birchas Hashem, now like Kursa Kosh Baruch Hu, Avodah Zorah, and also the Arayas. They also have applications by the Goyim. They're also included in these dinim. So that's not the source. The teaching me Ein Dorshin Arayas Lishlosha. Fine. So what is the source? Elam Yosef. Let us say it's from this pasuk. We'll try to dash it from another pasuk, where the pasuk says, Ushmartim es mishmarti. Right? This is dealing levilti, the rest of the pasuk, levilti asos michukos hatoivos, asher nasu lufnechem, shouldn't do what the goyim do. They do certain abominations, so we shouldn't do those abominations. Ushmartem, we darshan out, that implies traits, plural form. Mishmarti, that's singular, chad, so this is the three. And it says in the end of the pasuk, amar rachmana, levilti asos michukos hatoivos, you shouldn't do these abominable things. So therefore, let us learn now that Ein Dorshin by Rayas Lishlosh has learned that from here, that it says, Ushmartim Ishmartim, don't do this, and therefore don't teach it in three people. Let it say, this is the drasha. The Gemara doesn't like this as well. If that's true, so then every time it says, Ushmartim or Umishmartim, it implies two. El Meato, again, the same thing like we had by the Arayas Ishish. So Ushmartim is a Shabbos, that implies only two people have to observe Shabbos. One person alone doesn't have to observe Shabbos. Ushmartim is a matzos. A person has to be careful not to have chametz on Pesach. He has to have matzah. So only two people have to be careful. Ushmartim, plural. Likewise, umishmartim, es mishmeres hakodesh. You have to guard the mishmeres hakodesh. Only two people have to guard that, and not one person. Hochanami. So that obviously can't be the drasha. So finally, we give a practical source. Not the drasha from the psukim. Ela Amar Rashi. Rashi says a very practical din. Ma ein dorshin b'arayis b'shlosha, ein dorshin b'sisri arayis b'shlosha. When it says you can't teach the arayis with three, it's talking about very intricate details that aren't so well known and aren't so obvious in the psukim that you're not allowed to learn to three talmidim or more. You must only teach that to two talmidim. Why not? My time. What's the rationale? Because of mistakes that could occur. Why? Svaru. It's pure good logic. Bei Trey, when a Rebbe is teaching to two Talmidim, so Kiyasu Kamei Rabbayu, when they're sitting in front of the Rebbe, one is going to be asking questions to the Rebbe. Chad Shoka Vatari Badi Rebbe. He's going to be questioning the Rebbe. Rebbe, what does this mean? What does that mean? How do you say this? Why do you say that? And what's the other Talmud going to be doing? He's going to be listening. The Idach Matzli Udne is going to put his ear there. Gemara to listen to their back and forth discussion. That's what the Gemara is, the back and forth discussion, the Shakavataya. So if a Rebbe is teaching to two people, so he's going to be much more interactive with one of them, but the other one's going to be listening. What else is he supposed to be doing? However, if there are three Talmidim there, so what's going to happen? They're going to become a Chavrusa. So Tlasa, if you have three Talmidim and the Rebbe, so the Rebbe is going to be teaching one Talmud, he's going to give the Shir, but one Talmud is going to be interacting with him. Chad Shaka Vatari Badei, Rabbe. So one of them is going to be asking questions back and forth. The Rebbe is going to be focusing on that one Talmud at that moment in time. What are the other two Talmidim going to do? Lav Dafka, they're going to listen. They're going to have their own Shaka Vatariya. Ladach Tre, Shaka Vatari Badei Adade. So they're going to question each other. The Rebbe is talking with this one, and I'll talk with my Chavrusa. And what's going to happen? Since they're not listening to the Rebbe, so they could easily make a mistake in some of these intricate details of Arayas, but also Rahmona Lutzlan, they could come Lemishrei to permit Isura Barayas, since they're not listening to the Rebbe, but they're Shaka Vatari back and forth between them, they could easily make a mistake. They need a Rebbe still. And therefore, it could lead to a terrible Takola, and therefore, the Mishnah is telling us, don't learn these very intricate details of Arayas in a situation where there's more than two people, because the two people, you're talking with one, the other one will focus and listen and won't make a mistake. But once you have more than two people, it could lead, chas v'shalom, to them not listening carefully to you, because they'll have shaka v'tarya between themselves, and they may come to the wrong thing. Gemara says, so why is this only done by Arayas? Yehoch, you call it Torah Dami. So this should be for everything. Why should this not apply to Ribbis? Why should this not apply to Tsaras? Why would this only be a din by Arayas? So Gemara tells us a very important idea. Arayas shiny. Arayas is different than everything else in the Torah, because the Omar Mar, the Mishnah Makkos, that tells us that Gezel, the Arayas, thievery, and Arayas, and sexual immoralities, Nafsho Micham Dosan, person has a natural tendency, it loves these things very, very much, Umis'avlehem, he desires them, he covets them, he wants to do them very, very, very much. So therefore, we have to be especially careful with Arayas. Don't teach it to three people, because it could lead to a mistake, and people so interested in Nebuch, and always thinking of Arayas, that they would, Chas V'Shalom, come to be matir, something that would be asur. So we're asked the obvious questions. So then, Ihachi, the Mishnah should have said that Ein Darshan Barayas Uba Gezel Bishlosha. Ihachi Gezel Nami. Should have said the same thing by Gezel. Why doesn't it so? So Gemara says, no. Arayas, the interesting thing about Arayas is a person has them on his mind, even if they're not right in front of him. Even if there's not a pretty girl in front of you, you're still thinking of Arayas. Men think of Arayas all the time. Men think the way their brain is structured is that they're thinking of Arayas. So, Bein Bifanov, Bein Shalom Bifanov, Nofish Yitzre. Person's desire is a present, whether there's a pretty girl in front of him or whether there's not a pretty girl in front of him. Person is thinking of Arayas. A man is thinking of Arayas on a regular basis, whether the person's in front of him or not. Gezel, thievery. If you're in Fort Knox, you say, oh boy, I'd love to have that goal. But that's only the fun of when it's right in front of you. Nafish Yisrei, you want it very much. But a person's not constantly thinking of money, money, money. Shalom b'fun of lo nafish Yisrei. The gezel, the item that you want so badly, if it's not right in front of you, you don't think about it so much. As opposed to a rice, which you're always thinking about. That's why the Mishnah tells us very, very practical din, that don't teach these intricate dinim of a rice in front of three or more people, because it could lead to a takala, and this is specifically by a rice, and much less likely to occur by any other type of din. Mark continues by quoting the Mishnah. It says, "Veloba masaberaishis bishnayim." You shouldn't teach to other people besides yourself. You shouldn't teach them masaberaishis. Masaberaishis again is the understanding of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and all sorts of other esoteric ideas. Tosus says over here, masaberaishis in Dibur Masal in Dorshin is pirish. Rabbeinu Tam, the Rabbeinu Tam says, "Hushem mem bezosios." It's teaching the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that was created the world. The shame, the famous shame of mem bezosios. The Malbim says this is what the Choshen Mishpat had inside of it, the Urim and the Tumim, Ha'urim Vatumim. He says this is the Shem Membez Osios. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, which is made from the Psukim of Bereishis and the Pasuk afterwards. So this is an esoteric idea, and you're not supposed to teach this if you're teaching it to more than two people. You shouldn't teach it to two people or more. Only teach it to one person. How do we know that? We know how to immediately. The Tana Rabbanan, because the Bereishis teaches us the Pasuk that we have in the beginning of the Devarim, where it tells us, Ki sha'al no liyomim rishonim, asher hayu lefanecha. That's the continuation of the pasuk. We only quote the word first word, so Ki sha'al no liyomim rishonim, but the pasuk continues, asher hayu lefanecha, lemin hayom, asher bar elokim odom ala aretz, in the beginning when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man on this world, ulmikzeh shemayim yakzeh shemayim, from one end of the shemayim to the other end of the shemayim. What does this pasuk to mean to us? So, the Gemara Darshan, the Brisa says as follows, the first words, Ki sha'al no liyomim rishonim, when you shall ask about what was the yomim rishonim. So yachid shal, an individual can ask, but you shouldn't have two people asking. Yochel, I might have thought, Yishal Odom Kodem Shinivra Olam. I might have thought that you're allowed to ask also what's before the Olam. No, Tavonoma, that's what the Pasuk says. Limin Hayom Asher Bar Lukim Odom Alorits. You're only allowed to ask for the day that Odom was created in the world. Oh, that might have said that only from Adam and not from the beginning of Maisa Bereishis, from the first day, Bereishis Bar Lukim, Yochalo Yishal Adam Yishesh Ne Bereishis, you only have to ask from the sixth day and onwards, Talmud Lomar, that's why it says, L'yomim Rishonim, you're allowed to ask about the days before you. So that tells us you can even answer the first day of Maisa Bereishis. Yochalo Yishal Adam Mala 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 Matam Alefnim Mala Yochar, you might think, what about all that esoteric ideas about what was before the world, what will be after the world, what's above the world, what's below the world, exactly what these ideas mean. Again, we talked a little bit about, and the Rishonim go into more detail about this. So you might have thought that you're allowed to go and ask about these things, Talmud Lomar. That's why it says, no. From one end of the Shemayim to the other end of the Shemayim. Mi limikzei ha-shamayim, v'yakzei ha-shamayim atashol. Only from one end of the world to the other end of the world, so to say, what's in existence, you're allowed to go and ask. However, v'yena atashol, mala 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 mata, malafnim mala ocha. But you're not allowed to ask something before the existence of the world, so to say. You're not allowed to ask these things, what was before and what will be afterwards. That you're not allowed to go and ask. We turn to your Beis Amud Aleph. The more questions is, wait a second, Hashto Dinafkule Milksi Hashemayim Vaksi Hashemayim, now that you taught me this, so then, Limin HaYom HaShabar Elohim Adam Al-Aretz Lomeli, so why do I need that? Why do I need that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man? That you can ask from. If it says, I'm allowed to ask from one end of the world to the other end of the world, so to say, so of course I can ask from the time that Adam was created, so what does that come to teach us? So where it says, Kidu Rabbi Elazar, that we need for the din of Rabbi Elazar. What was the din of Rabbi Elazar? The Rabbi Elazar, that psukim of Ashabar Lokim, Adam, Ala Aretz, that's needed to teach us the following din. The Rabbi Elazar, Adam Arisho, Min Aretz, Ala Rakia. Adam Arisho was phenomenally tall. Now, this doesn't literally mean physically, but it meant that his breadth of understanding was from Aretz, Ala Rakia. He was able to understand everything from the bottom of the earth, so to say, from the ground all the way up to the Shemayim, to the Rakia. As the Pasuk says, Shnema, Lemin Hayom Asher Bar Elokim Adam Al Aretz. HaKadosh Baruch created Adam Al Aretz. And that meant he went all the way up to the Shemayim in his understanding. However, Kivan Shesarach Nebuch, when Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed him down. He niach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodav Kaviyachol Olav Umiyato. It's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, put his hand on Adam and pushed him down. So instead of being this creation that was able to be all the way from the Adam until the Rakia, he now was down. He was only on this world. Shenemar, Ochor Vokedem Sartani, I created Adam, I created you Ochor Vokedem, that created you and Chava together. That's one understanding over here, front and back, that you were facing the front way, but Chava was facing the back way. And then I had to push you down. I had to submit you, so to say. I had to put you down because of the sin of eating from the Eitz Hadas. So that's what Rabbi Elazar needs this pasuk for. I shall borrow Adam ala aretz. Similarly, Amar Yehuda Amar Rav, Yehuda Amar Rav said a similar idea. Adam Rishon misofa olam yatsofa haya. Adam Rishon stretched all the way from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Again, that doesn't mean physically. He wasn't a huge creature that stretched physically from one end of the world to the other. It means that he understood everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him an ability to understand much, much more than he was able to understand subsequently. Shinema, the Pasuk says, Lemin Hayom Shabar Lukim Adam ala aretz. He goes from one end of the world to the other end of the world. Kivin Shasarach, Nebuch, after the eight from the eight Sadas, he niach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yodo, Alav Miyato, the same dross that we just had a moment ago. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to press him down, had to submit him. Shinemar, Vatoshes, Olai Kapecha, Kaviyocha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his hand on me, his Kapecha, his palm on me, and pushed me down. So again, what do we need both of these Lashonas to worry as? Ihachi, Koshu, Kroyadadi. One Pasuk says that Adam stretched from the ground up to the Shemayim. Right, from Adam until the Rakia, from the ground, from the Karka until the Rakia. And the other one says from one end of the world to the other in the world. New, which one is it? What were the dimensions, Kaviyachal, of Adam Harishon? Yehoshi, Koshu, Koray, Adam. The two psukim seem to contradict each other. Mori says, no, they're not. They're exactly the same amounts. Idi, Idi, Chachiru. They both are exactly the same dimensions. They're from the ground all the way up to the Shemayim, and from one end of the Shemayim until the other end of the Shemayim, they're equidistant. They're the same amounts, and therefore there's no stira between these two drashos that we just brought down. This is, again, very, very esoteric ideas. We're just skimming the surface, literally. And Mirtz Hashem will continue to do so tomorrow when we pick up continuing this discussion. That concludes today's share.